Look at how easily Alex interrupts the doctor. I'm not 10. That's entitlement. His mother permits that casual incivility because she wants him to learn to assert himself with people in positions of authority. The doctor turns to Alex. Well now, the most important question. Do you have any questions you want to ask me before I do your physical? Alex, only one. I've been getting some bumps on my arms, right around here. He indicates his underarms. Doctor, underneath? Alex, yeah. Doctor, okay. I'll have to take a look at those when I come in closer to do the checkup, and I'll see what they are and what I can do. Do they hurt or itch? Alex, no, they're just there. Doctor, okay, I'll take a look at those bumps for you. This kind of interaction simply doesn't happen with lower-class children, LaRose says. They would be quiet and submissive, with eyes turned away. Alex takes charge of the moment. In remembering to raise the question he prepared in advance, he gains the doctor's full attention and focuses it on an issue of his choosing, LaRose writes. In doing so, he successfully shifts the balance of power away from the adults and towards himself. The transition goes smoothly. Alex is used to being treated with respect. He is seen as special and as a person worthy of adult attention and interest. These are key characteristics of the strategy of concerted cultivation. Alex is not showing off during his checkup. He is behaving much as he does with his parents. He reasons, negotiates, and jokes with equal ease. It is important to understand where the particular mastery of that moment comes from. It's not genetic. Alex Williams didn't inherit the skills to interact with authority figures from his parents and grandparents the way he inherited the color of his eyes. Nor is it racial. It's not a practice specific to either black or white people. As it turns out, Alex Williams is black and Katie Brindle is white. Alex has those skills because over the course of his young life, his mother and father, in the manner of educated families, have painstakingly taught them to him, nudging and prodding and encouraging and showing him the rules of the game, right down to that little rehearsal in the car on the way to the doctor's office. When we talk about the advantages of class, LaRose argues, this is in large part what we mean. Alex Williams is better off than Katie Brindle because he's wealthier and because he goes to a better school, but also, and perhaps even more critically, because the sense of entitlement that he has been taught is an attitude perfectly suited to succeeding in the modern world. This is the advantage that Oppenheimer had over Chris Langan. He was raised in one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in Manhattan, the son of an artist and a successful garment manufacturer. His childhood was the embodiment of concerted cultivation. On weekends, the Oppenheimers would go driving in the countryside in a chauffeur-driven Packard. Summers, he would be taken to Europe to see his grandfather. He attended the Ethical Culture School on Central Park West, perhaps the most progressive school in the nation, where, his biographers write, students were infused with the notion that they were being groomed to reform the world. When his math teacher realized he was bored, she sent him off to do independent work. As a child, Oppenheimer's great passion was rock collecting. At the age of 12, he began corresponding with local geologists about rock formations he had seen in Central Park. And he so impressed them, they invited him to give a lecture before the New York Mineralogical Club. As Sherwin and Byrd write, Oppenheimer's parents responded to their son's hobby in an almost textbook example of concerted cultivation.